Okay, today's daf is Yuma, daf Lamed Zayin. We are on Lamed Vav Mabez. We'll start by the two dots, and we get into the vidui. As we said in the Mishnah on daf Lamed Hey Mabez, we started talking about the first vidui that the Kohen Gadol does on Yom Kippur. So we can remember, by the end of the Masechta Avodah Hashem, we'll have the Avodah, exactly what the Kohen Gadol does. So we know he did the morning, the Trumas Hadeshen, and the Shechita of the Tum, and he started, and then he comes to his par, which was situated between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, on the west side, northwest side. He comes, and he does his vidui. On Hashem, Avisi Pashati Chatasi, or the opposite order. We had the Machlokas at the end of the last year between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, exactly on the order of the vidui, the different types of sins. So now the Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, Vikiper. So the Pasuk says here, by this Avoda, that the Kohen Gadol achieves Kapara, Vikiper Ba'ado Va'ad Beso. Right, that is the first Avoda. So, but Kapara is the first vidui. But Kapara is Varma Kadamadaver. So we say this means Kapara through vidui. Kapara through vidui. As we said last time, the amazing shita of the Yireim. The Yireim who holds that vidui on Yom Kippur by the Kohen Gadol is a separate mitzvah aseh d'oraisa. That's the Av. And then he says the told of that is our vidui in shul on Yom Kippur. But that's a separate mitzvah, says the Yireim, separate from Avodas Yom Kippurim. From that mitzvah, vidui on Yom Kippur. That's the Yireim shita that you mentioned last time in mitzvah Rishayin Beis or so, but says the Gemara now. So how do we know? How do we know that Kapara is achieved through Vidui here? Ata omeva Kapara is Dvaram, o eno ela Kapara is Damim. Maybe it's achieved through how normally Kapara is achieved, and that is through sprinkling blood. You take the blood of the par, which you're going to do, and sprinkle it onto the, basically this, Reis Samach Gimel. Sorry, Reis Samach Gimel. So how do you know which one it means? So hareni dan, I make a comparison. Namar kan Kapara, v'namar lahalan Kapara. It says here, by the par, by the Kohen Gadol's cow, it says the Lashon Kapara, and it says there by the Seir LaAzazel, the Seir Mishtaleach, it also says Kapara. Ma Kapara Hamura B'Seir, just like there by the Seir, it's talking about Dvarim. It's talking about has to be Dvarim. Why? Because the Azazel is not even shechted. You don't take any of its blood. So there it has to be through Dvarim. We're going to get through the entire Avoda of the Seir Mishtaleach with Hashem later. So Av Kapara, Amura Bapar Dvarim. So too, here the Par, even though the Par is Shechted, the Kapara referred to in the Pasuk is through Dvarim, is through Vidui. V'im Nafshach Lomar. And if you want to say that Lashon is always used by, if you think there's a problem with the first suggestion, I'm going to give you another suggestion. And the Gemara always goes into then, after the Brice is finished, what was the potential problem? V'im Nafshach Lomar. And if you don't like this comparison between the Par and the Seir Mishtaleach, Harayu Omer, it says, V'hegriv Aharon es parachatos asher lo, V'chiper ba'do v'ad beso. Says Aaron will achieve kapara for himself and his family through the chatas, and then it's the animal's not shechted yet. The shechita is only described later, so you see it's still alive, and you're already achieving kapara, a certain level of kapara. That's how you know that the mitzvah is a vidui. Period. Again, this relates to this whole vidui discussion relates to the general shechita of the Rambam that we have touched on many times. That's the Rambam, even in Tshuva, does not count the mitzvah of Tshuva, really. The Rambam in general counts the mitzvah of Vidui, a very popular topic to discuss, Elul and Tishrei time. The Rambam, when he formulates in Hilchos Tshuva, the mitzvah in Hilchos Tshuva, he says, Kishe ya'asa Tshuva chayav lehisvados. When one does Tshuva, it's more of a background to the mitzvah. Yes, in the Koteret, in the title, it says, She'yashuv al Hashem b'yizvada. He uses the Lashon of She'yashuv. But in the Halachos, he says specifically, Chayav lehisvados. So the Rambam maybe expands. He learns it from a pasuk in Parshas Naso, but maybe there's more of a comparison between Tshuva slash Vidui of the whole year for the Rambam and Tshuva and Vidui on Yom Kippur, because after all, he doesn't even have the mitzvah of Tshuva fully. Again, there are many, many answers given to why the Rambam does not quote plainly the mitzvah of Tshuva. Okay, but now we will continue. My v'im nafshach lomar. What is that extra v'im nafshach lomar? What's wrong with the first gzeirah shava of v'kiper between the par and the seir hamishtaleach? What's the potential problem? And that's why you need a second source. V'chitema neilef b'seir nase b'fnim. What's the potential problem? There are two seirim. There are two seirim. There's the seir hanase b'fnim that's done inside, that seir l'ashem, and the seir l'azazaz. We'll talk about it more in the next Mishnah. So why should you learn from one seer where it says v'kiper? They both say v'kiper, and by the seer nasa b'fnim, there is blood. Shekaparasa b'damim, right? So maybe you should learn it from that seer. So that's why we need the second source from within. Harei yu omer uv'kiper v'adai lo nishchan apar. So even without going outside of this, of the context of the par, you can learn that the v'kiper is talking about dvarim and not about damim. Good. So that's the makar. That's how we know. Uminayin. That's how we know there is a vidui in dvarim by this first one. Uminayin shebe ana. And how do we know that the first word that is said by the Kohen Gadol when he's misvade, as our Mishnah said, v'kach hayomer ana Hashem. How do you know ana is used? Ana, a lashon of bakasha. How do we know that is used? So namar kan kapara v'namar lahalan b'choriv kapara. It says kapara here, and it says when Moshe Rabbeinu was asking forgiveness for the Maiso Ha'egel, b'choriv, it also says kapara. Ma lahalan be'ana, af kan ba'ana. Just like over there by the Egel, it says ana, so to here it says ana. Stop there for a minute. Actually, let's just finish first, and we'll talk. Uminayin shebeshem, and how do you know you have to use shem Hashem when you do this vidui to achieve kapara? Namer kan kapara v'namer begla rufa kapara. Another context where kapara is mentioned for an avera. Kapara li'abcha Yisrael. Right, a parsha shoftim by Egla Arufa. Ma lahalan b'shem afkan b'shem. Just like there, it's with shem Hashem. So to here, it's with shem Hashem. That's how you know ana, and you have b'shem. Okay, stop there for a minute, and then we'll do the rest. First, the Gemara here calls the Avera of the Chet HaEgel Chorev. This is where we know there at the Magen Avraham quotes the Shlach Kadosh in the end of Hilchos Tefillah that there is a minhag to say the Sheish Zechiros every day. It's a minhag, even if one doesn't have the minhag, it's a nice, we should know the Sheish Zechiros. But one of the five out of six are exactly clear what they are. Shabbos and Miriam, it says exactly what we're supposed to do. And you see Yetzias Mitzrayim. One of them is not 100% clear. Zachar Asher Ksaftas Hashem Elokecha B'Midbar. Something like that. Right? Remember how you angered God in the Midbar. So 99% of Mepharshim assume that means the Chet HaEgel. And here it says Chorev. Hey, you egged Hashem in Chorev. And here it's talking about Chorev. There is somewhat of a problem, and Malkov Kamenetsky points out on the Pasuk, because if you look there where the Pasuk is, beginning of Sefer Dvarim, it says, the Pasuk says that you did the Chet HaEgel and you angered God, and the next Pasuk says, Uvichorev hiksaftim as Hashem. And in Chorev. So that's Chorev. So how can one be, how can it be the Egel also? So that's why he tries to figure out, maybe there's another idea behind that one of the Sheish Zechiros, but if you look in the Emes Yaakov, on that pasuk. One. Number two, let's get those something specific here, and that is, so we see from here that an important element of vidui is ana. Rav Yosha points out that in our viduyim, we don't always say ana. In many of the Sidurim, says Rav Yashiv, Ana Hashem, Ana is in parentheses. In a number of the Sidurim, says Rav Yashiv, I think you have to say it. It's an Iker part. And he says, look in the Rambam. The Rambam, Nichlas Shuva, Ana Hashem. He has the word Ana, you see in the Gemara. So he says, I think you should take away the parentheses in the Sidurim. And whenever you say Vidui, depending on Nusach Ashkan, Nusach Svar, whenever you say Vidui, you gotta put in the word Ana. He says, L'chor b'pashas b'ina l'meimar Ana, v'ze chelem ya Vidui, u'ma'akevu, u'b'sidurim shalanu kasvu b'sogayr, v'inir akein, ele sharach la'omra. That's the first. We're gonna have two Rebel Yashivs today. But that's the first. You have to say Ana. Rav Soloveitchik in the Avodas Yom HaKippurim that he has, right here, he says, if you look in the Rambam also quotes, Keza Mizvade, Ana Hashem, Chatasi Avisi Bashati, Ana is a chelek of Vidui. But Rav Soloveitchik points out that not only is Ana part of Vidui Yom HaKippurim, the Rambam has that in general. Beginning of Hilchos Teshuva, Vidui, Ana Hashem. Ask Rav Soloveitchik, but there's a difference, and this is a Yesod Gadol. You can't learn Masechta Yuma without this Yesod. And that is, we know the Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchos Teshuva, there are three parts to Vidui. Every Vidui, whenever you do an Avera, three parts to Vidui. What is it? There is mentioning the sin, and there is accepting I'm not going to do it again, and feeling bad about what I did. Charat ala avar, kabal ala asid, and saying the sin. That's the three parts of Vidui. You don't have that here in the Vidui of the Kohen Gadol. All he has is chatasi avisi pashati. There's no charat ala avar, there's no kabal ala asid. What kind of Vidui is this? It says Vidui. We know I'm never going to do it again. Why can't the Kohen Gadol say that I'm never going to do it again? My family's never going to do it again. It's a major difference between the Viduyim. Says Rav Soloveitchik. Also, another difference is, here, kapara is mentioned by the Kohen Gadol. While regular vidui, we don't mention kapara. Hashem, give us kapara. So that already is the clue in the beginning of the answer, and that is there are two types of vidui, Rav Soloveitchik says. And he gives a mashal. The Gemara says, and the Rambam quotes it, that we have to do vidui and do, so to speak, tshuva, but let's call it vidui, for averus that we did 4 years ago that we already got a kapara for on the previous Yom Kippur. Do it again. What do you mean do it again? We already got kapara for that. We already did vidui for that. So you see there's an element of vidui separate from the tshuva process. There are two types of vidui, says Rav Soloveitchik. One of them is part of tshuva. And that is the three parts. Charat ala avar, kabbalah ala asid, mentioning the chait. That's all part of tshuva. And that cannot be done through a shliach. How could the Kohen Gadol do vidui for me? It's a mitzvah shebegufo. I did the avera, I have to do vidui. He's doing vidui for all of Klal Yisrael. How does that work? That's not vidui of tshuva. Every single Jew has to do their own tshuva and do vidui. That's part of tshuva, and that has the elements. And that, there's no kapara mentioned there. That's personal vidui. He says, but there's another type of vidui. Not as the end of the tshuva process, but after a person already did tshuva, it is just to be meratze u'mischaper in front of Hashem. To get close to Hashem. To remind God of, yes, we even had past sins that you forgave already, but we really still feel bad about it. It's part of meritzui. It's just appeasing God, even separate than the process. That's the kapara, that's the vidui of the Kohen Gadol. That's how we can do it for other people. Because you can be meratze, the tshuva is already done. That's why you have differences between these vidui. The vidui of the Kohen Gadol is not midin tshuva. Shari einu yachol lashuv al chataim shel b'nei beiso. HaKohen Gadol lo mizvade ela kadei lahasik kapara u'mechila. V'lachinu mistapik rak ba'askaras hachataim u'bevakashas hakapara aleihem. That's a very important point relating to the viduis of Yom Kippur. The ana Hashem, there are similarities, right? The Rambam puts the ana with regular vidui. But there are major differences between the viduim as well. And we have to keep that in mind. Okay, so we have the vidui of Yom Kippur, we have the vidui of the whole year, we have the vidui of Egla Arufa, we have the vidui of Moshe Rabbeinu. We have a lot of viduyim being discussed here. So, just to end off this sugya, says the Gemara, fifth line, Omar Abaya, Bishlama Chorev, Be'egla Arufa Lo Yalef. So, we learned Egla Arufa has Kaper La'Avcha Yisrael, and we know Moshe Rabbeinu has Ana, and Egla Arufa, I'm sorry, has Shem Hashem. So everything has one. But how about learning Gzeirah Shavah to teach everything that's by one by the other contexts? So Bishlama Chorei Egla Arufa Lo Yalef, you're not going to learn two Chorei from Egla Arufa, my Dahavahavi. Well, we're trying to figure out what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Whatever he did, he did. We have to have Gzeirah Shavah to learn exactly what he did. It's in the past. Whatever he did, he did. We don't have to figure it out. Rashi says, Kfar Avar, V'Eif Shal Lachzor. Right, you can't go back and say, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu, you should have done this, something like that. Egla, Ella, Egla, Arufa, Telef, Bichore. What about the other way? Why don't you learn that from to Egla, Arufa, from Chore, that you should need Ana? Right, Ana, Hashem, there's no Ana in that formula that's mentioned that there's a Kanim have to say by Egla, Arufa. So, Vachite, Machana, I mean, if you want to say, yeah, it means it, you should say Ana there. But it's not. No, the Mishnah says, HaKoanim Omrim, Kaper La'amcha Yisrael. It says it. This is the formula that they say. Give kapara to your nation. Vilu banolo kamar. Another not mentioned. So kasha. So no answer given to that question in the Gemara. But as we know, the Rashbam says in Mama Basra, whenever kasha is said, that doesn't mean a knockout punch. It means a problem, but there's an answer. You just got to think about it. It doesn't say tiufta. Tiufta is a knockout punch. But kasha is not. So we got to search. So if you look at the Meshech Chachma, he has an answer. The Meshech Chachma says, on the pasuk of Chiper Badov Ad Beso, he says, why don't you learn it from Egla Arufa? He says 2 points. He says, there, the Nusuch is exactly said in the Torah. So that's it. If the Torah gives a specific Nusuch, exactly the words that are supposed to be used, you can't add on to there. He says, Mishub de Nusuch Alashok Siva Bo Raisa, Velo Nomar Ana. It doesn't say Ana there. And the Torah tells you exactly what to say. It's not just, the Torah doesn't have a law. So when you're trying to compare what's said and what's used in each context, what's said, there you could say, you play around with other words. But here the Torah says exactly the phrase that is supposed to be said. So whatever svara, whatever gzeirah shav you want to do, this overrides it. Sometimes you have an overriding factor that doesn't allow you to say gzeirah shava. right? Sometimes we've mentioned in the past, what's a gzeirah shavah? Gzeirah shavah is passed down. The Gemara says you can't say gzeirah shavah by yourself. Ein adam dung gzeirah shavah me'atzmo, elokein limda mirabo. But what does that mean? You find machlokas about gzeirah shavahs. Because the words were given, but you don't know always exactly which context to compare to what. And that's why there's some flexibility once you have the words. But there can still be machlokas. And sometimes the Gemara will say, well, don't compare these two contexts because they're not similar enough. So you see sometimes there are factors that override gzeirah shavah. So here too, says the Mishnah Chachma, it says it in the Torah what the nusach is. That overrides the factor of the gzeirah shavah. And then he tries to give a little svara, and he says, v'taima, let me explain a little bit why you cannot compare it to Egla Arufa, and comparing Moshe Rabbeinu and Yom Kippur and Egla Arufa. V'taima, de'echa dechsiv shoha ish yechaper lishlol yechol es kapara mino ish. Where we want to show that the kapara is not really coming from the person, but purely from Hashem. Ula haroski hu barachamim v'sachanunim v'ein tfilaso keva lomar. Shashem yisbarach mechuyav l'malos v'tzom bakashoso kasuv ana b'tachanunim. That's what we say ana by the cheta egel, and we say ana by Yom Kippur. But by Egla Arufa, Shlonis Yachza, Pu'ulas HaKapara El HaZakenim, there we don't say, by Yom Kippur we say, the Kohen Gadol is bringing Kapara. By the Cheta Egel, Ulai Achapra Ba'ad Chataschem. Right? Ulai Achapra. Moshe Rabbeinu is including himself. So there, the focus is on, uses the word Ana. To say that really, it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ana, please. But here, we don't, there's no Havamina. There was a murder, and we say, Kaper L'Amcha Yisrael, you Hashem. So you don't need the word ana because there's no misconception that the zakenim are involved. Umishem haki lo masik agamar rak bakushya to call kushya yesh lo teretz v'do. That's why it says kushya and it doesn't say tiyufta. Okay, these dafim are jam packed. Says the Gemara. Behein onan achrav, Tanya, Rebbe Omer. So what happened? The Mishnah said that after the Kohen Gadol says Shem Hashem, everybody screams out, Baruch Shem Kavo Malchuso Li'olam Vo'ed. So, Rebbe Omer, Tanya Rebbe Omer, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Avu Godel Elokeinu, when you ascribe greatness, when I call out the name of God, ascribe greatness to Him. That's the makar. Kishem Hashem Ekra, when you hear Shem Hashem, you have to bow down. You have to say Baruch Shem. That's the makar in the Torah. Parshas Ha'azinu. Amar le Moshe li Yisrael, b'shash ani maskir shmoshal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whenever I mention Shem Hashem, atem havu godel. You ascribe greatness to him. Chananya ben Achi, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, zecher tzadik levracha, Amar lehem Navi li Yisrael, b'shash ani maskir tzadik olamim, atem tidu bracha. Not only by Shem Hashem, even when a great tzadik is mentioned, you have to ascribe greatness to him, and say zecher tzadik levracha, as Hashem we will see in the coming up Mishnah. These few lines are jam-packed. One point that we mentioned in the past and one point that we might not have mentioned in the past. No, let's go in the opposite order. One that we might not have mentioned. The Tur in Hilchas Tfila says, you know what you learn from this Gemara? The Tur quotes his father. This is not in Shas anywhere. This halacha. It's only in the Rush. The Rush in Teshuva and the Rush in the Tur quoted here. He says, Vishamati me'abamari. One time, says the Tur, I was talking to my father, the Rush, and he told me, Shahaya Omer, Alkol Brachu, Bracha Shay Shomea, Bachom Akom, Barachu, Barach Shemo. The Tur said that his father, the Rosh, said, whenever you heard a Bracha, Barach Hashem, he said, Barachu, Barach Shemo. That's the source. How did he know that? Vizel Shaomar Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Ashalam, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Elokeinu. There it is. Says, our minog of saying Barachu, Barach Shemo, whenever we hear a Bracha, is based on the Gemara that we just read. And it's based on the Rosh. The Rosh in the Tur, that to say Baruch Baruch Shema whenever you hear a bracha. If you look, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, if you look in some Achronim are not as big fans of saying Baruch Baruch Shema. Not as big fans. So why would that be? What would be wrong with saying Baruch Baruch Shema? It's the Minog. There are, before we get to the Misnagdim, so to speak, those who are against, the Alpi Asod says the Piskei Chuvos, Yesh Kavanos Nisgavos Utamiros Ba'amiraso. There are secrets and amazing accomplishments in Shemayim by saying it. V'yesh la'omro kahogan, shelo b'lo la'havliya hatevos. We should say it properly without swallowing. We shouldn't say, Shmo, Shmo, Baruch Hu, Uvarach Shmo. We have to say, we have to realize, it's four words. Ula hakpid, and also to be makpid, to start only after the chazan says Shem Hashem, and to finish before he continues the bracha. Why shouldn't you say it? So there are those that say you shouldn't say it if the chazan is going pretty quickly. Meaning if you're not going to hear, the amen's in the Gemara. Baruch Hu V'Rach Shema was not in the Gemara, that's the rush based on our Gemara. So that's a secondary level. So if you're going to miss the amen, because by the time I say Baruch Hu V'Rach Shema, I'm not going to hear the end of the bracha, because he's zooming through Chazaras HaShatz, so then maybe you shouldn't say Baruch Hu V'Rach Shema, because amen is more important than a Baruch Hu V'Rach Shema. There are times in davening where you can't be mafsik, but you can say amen, you can't say Baruch Hu V'Rach Shema. So that is number one reason why not to say it. But if everything be considered, if it's a normal chazan that breaks after Hashem, say Baruch Hu Uvarach Shemo. But because it's not in Shas, the post can also say, if I'm being Yotzei a bracha through the person that's saying it, so then maybe I should not say Baruch Hu Uvarach Shemo. Again, because it's not in Shas, it's an extra Osafa. So if he's making a bracha for me, let's say by Mikra Megillah, by Tkiah Shofar, by any of those, and though there are those that say maybe by Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, because the Malchus Chazaras HaShofars is a special type of Chazaras HaShatz, I should not say Baruch Hu V'Rach Shemo L'chatchila. If you say it, it's okay, it's okay. But because it's not in Shas, it's just based on the Tshuvas HaRosh, that the Torah quote, or just the conversation, that the Torah quotes from his father, it shouldn't be said. Okay, there are those that don't say it. Why? If you look in the Grah, in the Maaser Rav, it's quoted as not saying it. He said, "Velo." He doesn't scream about it in the Lashon, at least in the Maaser Rav, which is written by his Talmidim. "Velo lahakpid al Baruch Hu V'Rach Shemo." Why? Ki ashatz eino mamtin ashetich lemipi ha'am umafsid chazaras ha'tvila. He says exactly the reason that we just said. The chazanim go too quickly. You're not going to hear the bracha, and you're not going to be able to say amen. That's the reason given in the Gra. So if you just take that one reason, then even the Gra would say meikar adin. It's okay. Nothing wrong with it. So again, that's how the Gra is quoted in Maaser Rav. Is there anything negative? So there is one amazing source. Did I quote this in the summer? I don't remember. There is one source, and that's from the Baruch Sha'amar. The Tor Tamima, in the Sefer Baruch Sha'amar, he quotes this, and he says, I have to mention what I heard from my Talmud Chacham Midor HaKodem, from the previous generation, from the mid-1800s. He says, why are some people against saying Baruch Hu V'Rach Shemo? He says, he quoted to me, he says, because in the times of Shabtai Tzvi, they charted saying they were very makbid about Baruch Hu V'Rach Shemo. Why? Because Baruch Hu V'Rach Shemo, it's Gematria Shabtai Tzvi. And that's why some people stopped saying it, because of that. Because of the Sabbateans, and it equals 814, and that's why to be a Zecher to his name, they were very, strong about it, and people stopped saying it because it's not in Shas anyway, so we're not going to say it because it's a Zecher. And says the Baruch Shemo, but the Torah says you're supposed to say it. Torah quotes the Rush. How can you just knock it out? So says the Baruch Sha'amar, I did the math. It only is Gematria Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. If you leave out the Vav, then it equals it. Baruch Hu Uvaruch Shemo, it's six off. He says it's only if you say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, quickly, and you leave it out. He says that's what it meant. They started saying it and leaving out the Vav in order as a Zecher to their Mashiach. He says, but you have to say it, slowly, and make sure you enunciate the Vav. Because then the Gematria doesn't work, and we're going back to the Minog. The Minog that was 500 years before. A couple hundred years before the Pesachtai Tzvi. Make sure you say, Uvarach Shemo. Yishtalu lomar bevav hachibur, Uvarach Shemo, v'nitztak kodesh. V'nitztak kodesh, that's what he says. V'ani mispala al ki lo bazecha mikol en yizeh becha misifre chachmei adoros hakomim. Nobody says a word about this in the couple hundred years before me, says the Baruch Sha'amar. He says, but that's what's quoted in terms of Baruch Hu V'Rach Shemo. Good. The other point to mention on this Gemara is something that we have mentioned in the past. Rav Soloveitchik, number two, points out that Shem Hashem Ekra is the source here for bowing down when you hear Shem Hashem. And it's also the same pasuk, Gemara and Brachas, the source for Birchas HaTorah every morning. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, Havugodel Lelokeinu. When you ascribe greatness to Hashem, right? When you call out the name of God, ascribe greatness to Him. Ask Rav Soloveitchik, how do you learn two different halachas from the same pasuk? Bowing down when you hear Shem Hashem, and saying Birchas HaTorah, before I learn Torah in the morning. What's the connection between the two? Explains Rav Soloveitchik, it's the same halacha. Because Torah is Shem Hashem, in a deeper level. Like the Ramban says in his Hakdamah to Torah, Ki kol HaTorah kula shmos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't read it like that. But the Ramban explains on a deeper Kabbalistic level, all of Torah is the autobiography of God. And whenever we come in contact with Torah, We're coming in contact with the divine, and even with the divine name. Ki shem Hashem ekra. So when you hear the name of God, either explicitly in the Beis HaMikdash, or implicitly when you're learning Torah, havogod elokeinu. Torah is shem Hashem, is coming in contact with Torah. And that even fits in beautifully with the Briska Rav. The Briska Rav explains in his commentary, in the Griz al Rambam, why women have to say Berchas HaTorah. Nashim Mevarchos Berchas HaTorah. The four words in the Shulchan Aruch. So why do women have to say Berchas HaTorah? Right? Women don't have to learn, in quotes, so to speak. Right? Women are Pater from Talmud Torah. Why do they have to learn? So the Magen Avraham there on the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchas Berchas HaTorah, Simin Mem Vav, Mem Zayin, Simin Mem Zayin, I think. The Magen Avraham says, well, women are obligated in learning the mitzvahs that are shaykh to them. The Ramah says in Hilchas Talmud Torah, in Yoredeya, they have to learn plenty. Right? All women have to learn is Orachaim, Yoredeya, Choshev, Ishpan, Ebenezer. That's it. They don't have to learn every Rabbi Kiva Eger and every Ksos. They have to, Halavai, we should know everything that women have to learn. But they have to learn mitzvahs that are shaykh to them. They're also chayav in top of Torah. So that's what the Magen Avraham says. The Gra argues, the Gra says, of course, but that's just the Heksher mitzvah. That's not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah per se. They have to learn about Hilchas Shabbos because they're chayav in Shabbos. But they're still pater from Talmud Torah Lishma. They have to learn Talmud Torah in order to know what to do by the mitzvos. So the Gra doesn't like that answer. So the Gra says, no, you know why they have to say, they have to make a Birchas HaTorah? Because it's just like they make brachas on Zman Gromas. Just like women can make a bracha on a lulav and a shofar and all the mitzvos they're pturas from. So too here. So the question on the Gra that all the Achronim ask after is that we're talking about the Shulchan Aruch here, not the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch himself holds that women cannot make brachas on Zman Gromas. Right? Holding like the Rambam. Right? The women cannot. Only Baalei Tosfos, quoted in the Ramah, say women can make a bracha on a Zman Grama. So, obviously, the Gra is giving a parallel and not saying exactly because the Gra knows that problem too. But what else could you say? So that's where the Griz comes in. The Griz quotes his father, Chaim, in the Griz on Hilchas Brachas. Says the Griz right here. He says, the Birchas HaTorah ain bracha al kiyum mitzvahs Talmud Torah, raku din bifnei atzmo, de Torah bo'i bracha. It's a separate din. It's not Birchas HaTorah. It's a big sugya. Do we say it's a Birchas HaNen? Do we say it's a Birchas HaMitzvah? Do we say Birchas Shalach Lodah? What type of bracha is it? So every shita exists. But Rav Chaim says, it's a special din, there's no parallel for this type of bracha. It's a type of shevach, I guess you would say, but it's a unique bracha that when you come in contact with a god, you have to make a bracha, with the Shem Hashem. Torah boi bracha. Why? Ki Shem Hashem Ekra. Our Gemara. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra. Special din. So women have that chiv. When women come in contact with the word of God, they also have a chiv to make a bracha. Ein ze din she shayach la mitzvah klau, rak da Torah atzma tuna bracha. V'nashe peturas rak me ha mitzvah shel Talmud Torah. Avol einon mufkaos me etzem ha chefse shel Talmud Torah. V'limudam avi b'chal Talmud Torah. It's still a chefse shel Torah, as he calls. Just like elsewhere, Rav Soloveitchik says, if I spend 5 hours on a shita of Beis Shammai, not halacha l'maisa at all. Doesn't matter. It's a chetzah of Talmud Torah. If I spend 5 hours learning a mitzvah d'rabbanan, what, it's bitul Torah d'araisa? I'm just learning about, d'rabbanans? No! It's a chetzah of Talmud Torah. It's coming in contact with the Dvar Hashem. Doesn't matter what part of Torah it is. And that's what you learn from our pasuk. That's an important discussion of the Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo. Talmud Torah, obviously there's a lot here, but now we will continue. Maybe we'll have a daf b'yinshir about Berachas HaTorah. So we'll see. Says the Mishnah, Balo l'mizrach ha'azara. Now we continue with the Avoda. So the Kohen Gadol, remember, just did Vidui and his par, which was on the west side, the northwest side. Now we switch. Now we go to the east side of the Azara. That's where the goats are standing, right? Inside the Nikanor doors, inside the Azara. So Balo, the Mizrach Azara. Let's phone up his back. The northwest side. Haskan, Mimino, Rosh Beis Av is below. Viskan, the assistant Kohen Gadol, is on his right side. The Rosh Beis Av is on his left side. What does he need his people there for? So Tiferes Yisrael gives a couple of answers. One of them is that he's about to go out to be seen in public by everybody in the Azara there. So it's mechubid to go alone. So he has these people with him. Visham Shnei Seirim, and there are the two goats. V'kalfi Yisasham, and he had the box that the lottery tickets, so to speak, were going to be in. Ubash de Garolos, you have the two Garolos in there. Shelash Garohayu, they were made out of this type of wood. Va'asan ben Gabla Shelzav, but Geben Gabla made them into gold. Va'yimaskirin also l'shvach, and the Klachanim praised him for it. Great job. So now we're going to have a Mishnah or two about families who did great things and families who didn't do great things. Ben Katan also Yud Beis Dad LeKiyor. Ben Katan put 12 faucets on the Kiyor. Shelo Hayu Lo El Shnayim. There used to be two, and the Kohanim used to have to wait online. But he made 12 so they could all be Mekadesh Shnayim V'Raglayim at once. Remember earlier, we had 13 Avodos listed in the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Hey earlier, but remember the Shochet didn't need to wash his hands, because Shchita Ksheira Bizar. So he's not included. But the other 12, that's why he says 12 here, because the 13th didn't need it. The Afhu, and also Ben Katan, Asa Mukhni L'Kiyar, Shalo Yiyu Meimav Nifsalim Balina. He also made a Mukhni. He made like a pulley system for the Kiyar, so they lowered the Kiyar down into a natural well every night, so the water that was already in the kiyar wouldn't be nifsal, because usually the rule is, if there is something in a klisharis that is left overnight, so then it becomes ruined, it's nifsal balina. But here, we save it. The water is in the kiyar, we lower it down, and it then becomes, it mixes with the water of the mayan, and loses its, basically its kedusha, and therefore it comes up. Unbelievable ha'ara that, you know, we all might have learned about this mukhni many times in our life, but a simple question. Ask Rav Yashar right here. What are you doing by putting the water down in the well? What are you doing through that? You are basically losing the kedusha. You are losing the status of the water. You're taking the water, which is in the kiyar now. What are you doing by connecting it, doing hashaka to the, in the well? I'm changing the status to chulin water. Am I allowed to do that? The Avnei Miluim has a tshuva. And the Gemara says it, but the Avnei Miluim says it beferish. To be ma'abed truma is an issur daraisa. To, let's say I want to have some truma, I'm going to be mevatel truma. Mevatel truma in chulin. One in 500. So it's going to be bittel. So there's usually a principle called ein mevatel issur lechatchila. I'm not letting mevatel isurim. So let's say if I take a little, I want to make my chicken soup a little tangy. I'm going to put a little milk in, less than 1/60. Less than 1/60, bittel, bittel works, acharam lahatos. Now let it do that. Isser, ein mevatel issur lechatchila. Rov Rishonim hold, that's an issur derabanan. It's an issur derabanan. But the Avnei Miluim says, if I do that to truma, it's an issur daraisa. Because it says, mishmeres trumosai. You have to guard truma. It's an issur daraisa. It says, aval yashiv, kachim is even more chamer than truma. So if you can't do that to truma, how can you do that to kachim? What am I doing with this water in the kiyar? I'm putting it down, this mukhani goes down into the water, so basically it's chulin water. And that's how it stays. It's not nifsal balina. How am I allowed to do that? Says Rav Al Yashiv, it's based on a Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma points out that the kiyar is not mentioned with all the other kalim in Parshas Truma. The kiyar is not there. It's only mentioned in Vayakel. Why? Why? Isn't it? Number one. Second question, when you put it all the way down into the water, isn't it like ruining the structure of the Beis HaMikdash? The structure of the Beis HaMikdash is made up of certain kalim. You have you have the Mizbeach, you have the Kiyar and the Kano, are two of the seven kalim that the Rambam mentions as part of the structure. No? Says that Rav Yashiv, it must be the Kiyar is different than all the other kalim. Because the Kiyar, number one, is not used for an avoda, it's used only for a Hechsher avoda. And number two, he says, the Meshech Chachma says, there's no me'ila by the kiyar water. Based on a diyuk and a pasuk. Why? Because the Kohanim wash their hands and feet by it. What if they use a drop more? Drop less? What, you're going to say they violate me'ila? There is no, based on a diyuk and a pasuk, it doesn't say ve'yekodesh, there's no me'ila there. Says the Rav El Yasha, that's our answer. So you see it's on a lower level of kedusha than normal kachim, so maybe even less than truma. And that's what you have to say. Or else how would you be able to cause the holy water to become unholy? How are you allowed to do that? Just because it's going to be nifsal balina, but so what? You're not allowed, just because something has problematic, like by a regular carbon. What do we say many times? Ta'un ibur tsura. You have to wait till the next day, it becomes ruined, and then you burn it. Well, you can't ruin it yourself, even though it's going to become ruined the next day. You can't do that. So it says over Yashiv, you have to say it as some type of lower level kedusha. Amazing ha'ara. Okay. We continue. Says the Gemara. Says the Mishnah. Munbaz hamelech hayaosek kol yados hakelim shel yabekipurim shel zav. Munbaz, which Rashi says it elsewhere. He was one of the Greek kings. Munbaz hamelech, he made all the handles of the kelim that were used on Yom Kippur gold. Special day, he made him gold. Hilni imo, his mother Hilni, asta nefreshes shel zav al pesach ha'echal. She made a gorgeous, and donated a gorgeous chandelier to put in the heichal, as we'll see on my base, but what it's used for. V'afi asta tavla shel zav, shebeparsha sota, ksuv aleha. She also donated a golden bar with the Parsha of Sota written on it. So you don't have to take a Sefer, when the Kohen writes a Parsha of Sota for each Sota woman, he doesn't have to take out a Sefer Torah and open it and copy it from the Torah. He just has his gold bar to copy it from, and then he copies it onto the cloth of Sota. Nikanor, we'll talk about each of these in the Gemara. Nikanor, famous Nikanor. Nasu Nisim Ladal Sosav. The story comes up on tomorrow's daf. Nisim, miracles happen with his doors. So all these people did great things. And that's why Zecher Sadek Levracha, starting with the, why is this Mishnah here? Because Ben Gavla made the Goralos into gold. So we quote all the others as well. From the fact that it says that the goats are standing on the north side, the Mizbeach is not in the Tzafon, because it says the north of the Mizbeach. So if any of the Mizbeach was in the north, you could just do it to the east of the Mizbeach. But it doesn't say that. So this Mishnah sounds like the entire Mizbeach was not on the north side. Mani Rabbi Ben Yaakovi. This is Rabbi Ben Yaakov, she did the Tanya, as we had Tzafon Lefnei Hashem, she had Tzafon Kulo Panui. Divrei Rabbi Ben Yaakov, the entire north is empty from the Mizbeach. Ivah HaReisha, but our Mishnah on yesterday's daf, we prove was Rabbi Reb Shimoni. Right, we prove on yesterday's daf that the previous Mishnah was Rabbi Reb Shimon Shita. So, Kula Rabbi Ben Yaakov, really it's all Rabbi Ben Yaakov. I, the previous Mishnah, which described that the cow, the pyre, was on the west side of the Mizbeach, but it's considered north. V'tzni bein b'bein ha'ulam v'la Mizbeach. No, you don't have to say that the cow is mamish due west of the Mizbeach. It could be west of the Mizbeach, but northwest of the Mizbeach. Right, and that's good enough. And so it's all Blaz Ben Yaakov Shita. Period. Vaskan b'yimin over Rosh Pesach b'smolo. Amar Rav Yehuda ha-mahalef b'yimin rabo. Harei ze bur. If somebody walks to the right of their Rebbe, they are a bur. Right, they are someone who is ignorant, an ignoramus. We'll get to what exactly the bur is soon. But he's silly, right? He's foolish. Why? So the Meiri says, you have to be on the left side of your Rebbe. So if your Rebbe needs anything, you could use your right hand to help him. So I guess if you're a lefty, maybe you can be on that other side, according to that svar. Tanan, haskan bimino v'rosh beis abis molo. In our Mishnah, it says the skan's on the right side. V'otan, and also the Brisa says, the Brisa in Mesechas Derech Eretz. Shlosha shayim alfin baderech. Three people are traveling. Harav be'emsa gadol bimino v'kata mismolo. So you see, people go on the right. V'chein matzida b'shlosha malachi asharis. The malachim. Shabo etzal Avraham. Michael ba'emsa gavriya bimino v'rafo bismolo. So you see, the right side isn't so bad. Targuma Rav Shmuel bar Papa kameder of Ada kadishi iskasa bo rabo. It doesn't mean in those cases that they were exactly parallel to the side. It means they were a little behind. They were a little behind. V'atanya amal k'neged rabo harize bor achori rabo harize begase ruach. Behind is also bad. No, d'mitzadei d'atzudei. They were diagonally behind. So it's not good to be exactly equal. It's not good to be right behind. It's good to be diagonally behind. So you can be there to help out when there is a need. There is a very important Rambam. Again, I have to go through all of it now. Running out of time. But the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos. I don't know why this Rambam is not more famous. The Rambam on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. About seven midos with a golem and seven with a chacham. Right, in Parakeh, the Rambam says, there are four types of people, five types of people in life. A boor, an Am Haaretz, a golem, a chacham, and a chassid. Five people. A boor, an Am Haaretz, a golem, a chacham. Let me explain to you what each of these are. I'll just mention the first two, because that's to do with our Gemara. A boor and an Am Haaretz. What are the two? And obviously this is a translation from the Arabic, but at least let's assume that this is exactly what he means from Rav Kapach's edition. So he says, Bur is someone who doesn't have Ma'alas Hegionios or Ma'alas Midotios. He doesn't have Derech Eretz, and he also doesn't have any Chachma. That's a Bur. He's totally empty. Like, what do you call a field that has not been touched? Stay Bur. It has not been plowed. Stay Bur. Empty, totally empty. That's a Bur. An Ama Aretz is someone who has Ma'alos Midotios. He has some Derech Eretz, but he has no Chachma. He's not been taught. That's an Am Haaretz. He's a nice guy, but he doesn't know anything, right? That's an Am Haaretz. Ein bo malos hegyonios. Yesh bo derech eretz ve'ein bo Torah. Zenikar Am Haaretz. A golem is the opposite. A golem has certain hegyonios, midotios, but he doesn't have any derech eretz. And then he talks about what's a chacham and what's a chassid. But that's a rabbah. So a boor is totally empty. It's an empty person. That's what it means here. Harei zebor. Weiter, two dots. The kalfi oitz hashem abashay goralos. So the kalfi was there, and you have the two goralos there. Tanur Rabbanan. V'nosan Aaron al shnei asirim goralos. Aaron puts on the two goats goralos, right? The one piece of wood or gold that says Lashem, and one that says Lazazel. Goralos shall call davar. Me'ikar adin that can be made out of anything. Yachol yitain shnayim alzeh v'shnayim alzeh. You might think you need two on each one. Because it says the word goralos in plural, shtayim azeh v'shtayim azeh, and tamalomar goral echal Hashem, v'goral echal azazel. No, one of each. One of each. It's what the without the pasuk, I would have said it meant two. Right? But now the pasuk tells you one. Let's finish. Ein kan el l'shem el goral echad. Ve'ein kan l'azazel ein kan l'shem el goral echad. Ve'ein kan l'azazel el echad. Yochol yitin shel shem v'shel azazel azeh. V'shel shem v'shel azazel azeh. You might think you put both of them, one shem, one azazel, on this one and on that one. That's a strange Hav Amina. They said, how do you know which is which? So the Achronim explains, it must be that the Hav Amina is that the Goralos have nothing to do with being Koveya, which animal is which. It's a Maisa Agrala that you have to do. And that's it. But then the Kohen Gadol could choose which animal is which. Tamalomar Goral Echad Lashem. Ein Kan Lashem Ela Echad. Ein Kan Lazazel Ela Echad. Im Ken Ma Tamalomar Goralos. So why does it use the plural Goralos? Sheyu Shavin Shelo Yase Echad Shel Zahav V'Echad Shel Kesef. Echad Gadol V'Echad Katan. Right? It means that you shouldn't have two that are not exactly parallel. One of gold, one of silver, one big, one small. They have to be equal. The Goralos have to be equal, and as we'll see by the Hashem later on, the Seirim have to be equal. And Perek Shnei Seirim is going to say, Shnei Seirim, Shneim Shavin, Bekoma, Begora, everything equal. Goralos shall call Dever Pshita. So obviously, why would I have thought that the Goralos need to be made from a certain material? Lo Tzricha, look at the Tanya, the following Brisa. Lefisha Matzinu, Betzitz, Shashem Kasuv Alav, Vehu Shal Zahav, because I know from the Tzitz, Shem Hashem is written on the Tzitz, Lashem, it's Shal Zahav Yachol Avzekein, you might think that this also, right, there's a Shem Hashem on the Goral, so that also has to be gold, just like the Tzitz, Tamalomar, Goral, Goral, Riba. It says Goral, Goral, so it includes made out of anything, Riba Shal Zayis, Riba Shal Egos, Riba Shal Eshkara, right, it includes anything. Rav Meir Shapiro was once asked, there was a man who left in his will that he says, on my yard site, every year on my yard site, my children should donate covers to our Sefer Torah in the shul. Covers. So what does it mean, covers? So the children said covers means every yard site, a cover for each Sefer Torah. And the Gabbaim of the shul say, no, it says plural, covers. No. Two covers for every Sefer Torah. A weekday cover and a Shabbos and Yontif cover. So they didn't know what to do. What did the father mean? Right? Dibur Torah Kolosh B'nei Adam. But what did he mean here? Covers. So Rameir Shapiro goes through a number of sources. Number one is right here. Right? Goralos. We would have thought it meant two without the pasuk that specifies one. So maybe there. It means two covers. And he goes through back and forth and back and forth. And at the end of the day, he says, I'm not sure. Hamosim Mechaber Olav Araya. And therefore, one until proven otherwise, because there's not 100% raya in either direction. Good. Ben Katan also shteimasar dad l'kiyar. He made 12 handles for the kiyar. Tana, why? Kadeshi shteimasar achav kohanim ho asukin b'tamid mikachin yidem raglein b'masachas. That all 12 kohanim who had to do kiddush for carrying up all those limbs could do it all at once. Right? Imagine, right? They're all rushing and they love it and there's reason makdimin and then they have to wait online. Okay, I'm washing first. No, he did me 12. Tana, Shachris Bimilu O, Mekadesh Yad Raglam and Elyon. There were really pairs of covers, 12 pairs, on top and on bottom. So they could use the upper ones in the morning because the level of water was very high. But Ma Arvis Biridaso in the afternoon, before the afternoon of Odos, Mekadesh Yad Raglam and Atachton. They had to use the lower one because then the water level was lower. Again, they put their hands over their feet and then they turned on the faucet.
Would it be more convenient for the bottom one to get the hands?
The bottom one wants to get the hands and the feet, but it could be that it could have been. I'm saying, but they wanted to use all. He made all of these. They wouldn't have to bend down. It would be easier for them. So more mechubad. You're standing up. And either way, that you have to put your hands over your feet anyway. In any case, so where you turn on the water, I don't think makes a difference. Gilgala, it's a wheel Davi Meshakale. They used to be mashkia it to allow it to go down into the water. See, he made gorgeous golden handles for all the kalim used on Yom Kippur. He wanted to make something beautiful, so he made the handles into gold. Why didn't he just make the kalim into gold? Why just the handles into gold? Once he had enough money. No, it's talking about the knives. So the knives can't be made out of gold. Right, gold isn't sharp enough, gold is too malleable, and therefore, he only did it for the handles of the knives. Meisvei, really? That was it? Afu asa shkani kelim v'ugne kelim v'yados kelim. He also made the base of kelim and the rims and the handles v'yados sakinim shal yom kippurim shal zav. So you see, it wasn't only the knives in the brisa. He made gold for other things too. So again, back to the question. Why did he just make the actual kelim gold? Targuma baya bekatsa dinar givachatzini. No, it's talking about other types of kelim besides knives. But what are they? Axes or other sharp items. So that's what he used. What about the kanim and the ugnim? Those are for sure not knives and sharp items. That's the base and the base of kelim. So explains the Meiri and the Tosfos Yeshanim here. But maybe those kelim were already gold, like the base of a kli. Maybe it was already a golden kli and he just added on. But besides that, he only did it to the knives. Hilni made this gorgeous chandelier, Tana, Bishashachama Zarachas. Nitzotos Yosin Mimena, when the sun used to start shining in the morning, it used to shine off of this gorgeous chandelier, and the rays used to go out off of it. Vakol Yodin, Shigiyaz Makriyashma. And everybody knew, time to say Kriyashma. Time to say Kriyashma. Why? Rashi says, right, Netzachama. The mitzvah is with Netzachama. This big Tosfos here discusses really when's the Iker time for Kriyashma. When is the Iker time? Is it before Kriyashma? Is it at Kriyashma? Machlokas Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. Is it after Netzachama? I'm sorry. Is it before Netz? After Netz? Machlokas Rishonim. Some Rishonim say Kriyashma is after Netzachama. Im Netzachama, we's after. There are those that are Makpid who daven Vasikin who repeat Kriyashma after Vasikin. Why? Because we makpid v'shitas Rabbeinu Tam right here in this Tosfos. So again, it's not so much accepted. Most people who daven Vasikin don't, but that's a machlokes Rishonim. What does it mean davening with Netzachama? Meisvei hakoreish ma shachris im anshei mishmar, says the Brisa. If somebody daven shachris at the time that the anshei mishmar, right, the Kohanim say Kriyashma, the Anshei Ma'amid or the Anshei Ma'amid. Anshei Ma'amid are, we know all of Klal Yisrael was split up into 24 groups, and a number of representatives went to the Beis HaMikdash to represent that Ma'amad of Yisraelim. Lo Yatza. So if anybody says Kriyashma when the Mishmar, that's too early. Why? Rashi says that's Kodim Hayom. Wow. Does that mean before dawn? That's what Rashi sounds like. The Anshei Ma'amad, and Anshei Ma'amad, that's very much later. Lo Yatza. They weren't Yotze. Why? The Anshei Mishmar Mashkimin of Anshei Ma'amad Ma'achrim. So you see from there that the Anshei Ma'amad and Anshei Mishmar did not say it at the proper time. So who was the shining off of the chandelier for? So Amar Abaye, Lashar Amad Yerushalayim. For everybody else. You're right. The Anshei Ma'amad said it later. The Anshei Mishmar said it earlier. But it was for the rest of the Am in Yerushalayim. The other Rishonim here argue with Rashi. Sounds like they're saying Shema before Amud HaShachar. How could that be? So the Ritva and others say, no, it just means after Amud HaShachar, earlier. After dawn, though, because you're not Yotze. If you say Kriyashma before dawn, you're not going to be Yotze. But it gets into sugyas of brachas, Amud HaShachar, between Amud HaShachar and Netz. But before Amud HaShachar, unless that's not what Rashi means, but it sounds that way, Kodim Hayom. There is a tshuva that Rav Moshe has in the first chelek of Igros Moshe about people, there were these Jews in Siberia that had to go to work like at 4 in the morning, and they came back, they had to leave before light, and they came back after dark. And they didn't know what to do about tefillin. Maybe they could daven while they were, they couldn't wear tefillin while they were working. And they asked Rav Moshe, we might go for 6 months without wearing tefillin. Because we're never going to be home during the day. Rav Moshe told them to put tefillin on before they went to work, and he allowed them to make a bracha at 4 in the morning before Amud HaShachar. Because he says if they don't make a bracha, they're not going to take it seriously. They're not going to think this is the real mitzvah. So he allowed them even to make a bracha on tefillin, even though it was pitch black outside. So maybe this is a similar idea. Kodim Hayom, if that these 2 weeks that they're working, they're not going to be able to, they have to do the avodah all day. They're not going to be able to put it on. You know, it's a little not the same, that you probably have some time during the day to put tefillin on. Either way, but this Gemara reminds us of that Rav Moshe. Let's just read the next Gemara. Vimhi asta tavla, vavi asta tavla. She also made the tablet for the Kohanim to copy from. Shemas mina, kosim megillah latinok lislamin ba. You see from here that you're allowed to write part of a Torah. Right? You don't have to write the entire Torah. There's no issur of writing a section of Torah. Because you see here, she made a section of Torah on the gold tablet. So Amarev Shlakish, Vishur Rabbianai, Ba'alapes. No, maybe no Raya. Maybe it doesn't mean she wrote the whole thing. She wrote it in Rosh Tevis. She didn't write the whole Parsha out. Meisvei, what do you mean? But the Brisa says, Kashu Kosev, when the Kohen writes the Parsha of Sota, Roe Vekosev Masha Kasa Batavla. He writes exactly what he sees. So it sounds like it's there. No, Ema Roa Vekosev Kimasha Kasa Batavla. Like, but it's really in Rashi Tevis. Meisvei, Kshukosev Roe, Kshukosev Roa Vekosev Masha Kasa Batavla, Uma Kasa Batavla Im Lo Shachav Isho Sach Vim Lo Shachav Im Satis Vim Lo Satis. Sounds like it's explicit. So Gemara says, no, Hasam Lisei Rugin. There too, he just wrote like the first word of every pasuk. He didn't write the whole parsha, so therefore there is no raya what to write. Right, there's a big discussion related to this Gemara also, and we'll end with this. The Magen Avraham in his Hakdama to Siman Reish Pei Dalid says, when you print something, you should print an entire sefer. You shouldn't print part here, part there. The Magen Avraham would be against Haftorah books, where it just has the Haftorah for each parsha. He would be against it. No, you got to have a whole Tanakh. Or a whole sefer in Tanakh. That's the Magen Avraham in Reish Pei Dalet. Because of this, you can't write a separate section of the Torah or of Navi. The Chazon Ish writes that in Maseches Yadayim, that the whole, when it comes to printing press, the whole thing doesn't apply. The only issue had to do with writing, mamish, with dyo on cloth. But if it comes to the printing press, says the Chazon Ish, that, this is, if you want to look it up, it's in Yadayim. In Yadayim, Simen Ches, he says, Nirat im lo efsha lemichta b'ksav sofer ela b'tfus, shuv ein chiluk bein sefer shalem le megillah. Tekiva d'tfus lo havi koach adam, ela havi kikasvo kof. It's like a monkey did it. Right? Lo havi sefer, velo litain likros bo. It's not called a klav, it's not called a sefer, halachically. And therefore, there wouldn't be a problem. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Again, these davim are jam-packed. Tomorrow, we get into Nicanor. We get into those that acted lignai. We had some of tomorrow's gemaras back in Masechah Shkalim also. We have a very large daf tomorrow, Bez Hashem. But we'll do it, and then we will continue.